We can't beat Denver County. Last time we played Denver, they scored 7 times.
Haven't you guys ever seen these movies? We're just supposed to rally together, believe in ourselves, and we win in the end.
In the movies, they always go out and find a kid who's really good to join the team.
Hey, that's right. We need a ringer.
We need a Canadian.
Unapologetically Canadian, you're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Let me tell you something. You're everything to me. And you don't know me nothing. This is where I want to be. Baby, let me tell you something. You're everything to me. And I don't need nothing. This is where.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus boots radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have everybody with us tonight. Lots going on. Pretty big guest in our studio. We want to talk to this person coming up here. Jason, how are you?
Good. I am recovered after a wedding-filled weekend.
Yeah, the things went well there?
Yes. My brother and his wife are now officially married. Didn't screw up.
Okay.
Didn't trip over my words. Everything went without a hitch.
Fantastic. Good to hear. Glad to hear everything's going well there. Congrats on the family, on the new extended family as well. Yeah. That's awesome. I am Teebs. The song you're listening to that's in behind is a song picked by our illustrious guest this evening, although she didn't really pick it, but she kind of did. We'll get to that in a second, though. But the song you're hearing, this is Big Gigantic, and the song is Where I Want to Be from their 2020 album Free Your Mind. You might be wondering who this Big Gigantic band is. And it's actually just two guys. Dominique Lally, who plays the saxophone, as you can hear.
I was going to say, he's just ripping it on the saxophone. Again.
And he produces the music as well.
As a former saxophonist, that's some great technique there.
And the other guy is Jeremy Salkin, who plays the drums. Lally actually holds a master's degree from the Manhattan School of Music. So kid knows his music in terms of what he's doing. Salkin's been a touring musician for some time, been with a bunch of different bands. But this song, gotta say it's grown on me. Pretty solid pick. Pretty solid pick by our guest tonight in terms of, we'll get to the reason why in a few seconds here. But we'll fade out Big Gigantic as we get set for this. Not going to waste a lot of time because we got a lot to go through with this guest tonight, and we're going to have some fun with everything that she has done, and it's going to be, I'm going to say, a pretty good chat because her career is only just getting started, but we got tons to go over. Tonight, the Hockey Show welcomes a goalie who has accomplished more in her 24 years than I ever would in two lifetimes. According to the trophy case, there's an under-18 World Championship bronze medal. There's a win at Fenway Park. There are 3 degrees from her university of choice. There is a Canadian under-14 softball championship trophy that have her fingerprints on them. And beyond that, our guest was a standout goaltender for the Quinnipiac University Bobcats, where she played and practiced for 6 years. If you thought we were done there, though, we have more. She signed her first professional contract this summer with the PWHL Ottawa team, and there's a pretty good chance she's going to land on that roster. We've watched her beat boys teams, win a female World Sports School Challenge gold medal, become one of the NCAA's best netminders, and she'll now be part of the Hockey Show as we welcome PWHL Ottawa goaltender Logan Angers to the program. Logan, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am good. First off, how's the summer going? Obviously, getting ready for hockey, but summer's been well?
Yeah, summer's good. Spend the weekends at the cabin, so it's always good.
Right on, that's a good thing.
The most Manitoba way to spend the summer.
Exactly. There's nothing else.
Yeah. Let's get into the song. Why was this the last song you listened to before every game?
Honestly, I came across it one day, and no idea where it came from, honestly, but I just thought it was an awesome song to kind of play right before I got out. It has a good beat, has some words to it, you know, and a good kind of message for me, too, before I get out on the ice. So it was just kind of the best thing for me to play right before I got out.
Right on. glad to hear that there was a little bit of meaning there for you. That's awesome. let's get underway. Let's have some fun with this. Jason, you want to give us our start?
Yeah, sure. So usually with these interviews, we're going to kind of roll the clock all the way back to the beginning. January 7th, 2000, when the Angers household grew a little bit bigger and a little bit rowdier. So tell us just a little bit about what life was like growing up. You have two brothers, and you know, what was life like for you growing up?
Yeah, growing up, I mean, obviously, like you said, I have two brothers and the middle child. On one side of my family, I'm actually the only girl there is.
Okay. Oh,
so, you know, right. I grew up around a lot of boys, a lot of hockey. Like, we always had a backyard rink in our yard. So, like, I've skated since I could walk, probably, mm-hmm. like, always skating in the backyard. Again, going to the cabin. I was actually born in the Paw, so I came from there originally. And then a lot of my family's still in Neepawa, so traveling out there a lot. We'd go on right ski on. Trips for spring break, I guess. But yeah.
Before we go on a little bit further, obviously lots to go over in this or whatever. But you said backyard rink. 4 is when you apparently started skating, correct?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
you weren't a goalie for the longest time. Mm-hmm. Again, going through some of your stuff, obviously online and searching some information for you. We've seen pictures of you wearing non-goalie equipment.
Yep.
What position did you play when you were growing up?
I was always a D for boys hockey, but okay. when I played girls in the spring, I'd always like to play forward.
Okay. Were you a goal scorer? Or?
No.
What?
No, definitely not. I had a really good shot, though.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. fun, then. Not that we're trying to narrow down team. What teams were you playing for?
I played for the Timbits team was the Panthers, I guess. I don't know what the areas are there.
Whatever, yeah.
And then I played for Fort Garry and then the Twins.
Oh, right
on. I got cut from the Monarchs, actually, and played for the Hawks. Yeah.
Monarchs, big mistake.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. They got a little bit of rundown in terms of where she's played.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said in a few interviews that you wanted to play goalie because your brother, Jesse, did.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just lost my spot here. And you're often told to wear the pads in the backyard rink, but when did you start to realize that that was the position that you wanted to play if you're going to stick with hockey?
Yeah, I think even like looking back to when we were doing Timbits and like 7/8 hockey, like I was always wanting to be the goalie, and I think my parents knew that my older brother was, so they always tried to push me out of that position a little bit. But I always was kind of trying as whenever I could to be a goalie. And I think I got cut from my 10A1 team as a player, and I think that was the time I was like, okay, I'm done with this. I want to be a goalie. I'm going to be a goalie next year.
Was there a lot of hand-me-downs from your brother when it came to pads?
I actually got a new pair of pads when I played with St. Mary's, but before that, that was my first new pair of pads I ever owned.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Wow.
All right, came at the right time.
Yeah,
obviously.
Exactly. I mean, my dad would buy stuff off of eBay or something.
Yeah,
I might have
got
a new pair there, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I mean, I grew up with... an older brother and then older cousins that all played hockey, so I don't think I ever, aside from like the first set of equipment I had and then like the equipment that I bought as an adult like years later, it was always like somebody else's like secondhand skates or whatever.
Mm-hmm. At least they're broken in though, so that's all right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
With all this hockey stuff going on though, for people that don't know, Logan Angers was making a little noise on the diamond as well. You were part, as we mentioned, of the Smitty's Terminators fast pitch team, which is no small feat considering how good those teams are every summer. What positions did you play for them?
I'm sure it comes as no surprise that I was a catcher.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
I also played a little bit of first and third base sometimes just to give me a break from catching, but I would go 3-4 games in a day and catch all of them. I was a catcher to my core.
Was there a position that you, again, because they kind of move you around, was there a position you didn't like playing?
One week my coach decided she wanted me to play shortstop, and I can't say I enjoyed that. Although I play ladies softball now in the summer just kind of for fun, and they put me at shortstop, so I'm getting used to that now, I guess. But at the time I definitely didn't enjoy that.
Just a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, apparently
she fits anywhere in terms of the ball diamond, folks. There you go.
Yeah, but by age 11 you were stopping pucks pretty well. It seems like you were on the rise as a netminder. Because you were playing against boys with the Winnipeg Hawks U14 AAA team.
Mm-hmm.
Was playing with the boys a good step up for those next few years of hockey for you and that kind of carried you through?
Yeah, I think playing boys hockey, like, was awesome for me. I think it was at age 8, like, that was when they first kind of started the girls hockey for, like, 8A1, whatever. And I had debated, I think I might have actually gone to a girls tryout as well, like, just one of them, to decide. And then my dad was like, nope, we're sticking with boys hockey. And I think that I can credit kind of where I am today for sticking with the boys. I don't know where I would be if I was still with girls hockey, you know? It's grown so much now, but it wasn't the same back then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that age was kind of a pivotal age for you as well. We skip it over a major part of this. Again, if we kind of looked over the Smitty's under 14 girls fastball team that went to White Rock, BC.
Mm-hmm.
You guys actually made a little history out there. Are you aware of that?
I think so.
You guys became the first team not from Ontario or BC to win the championship.
Yeah, I knew there's like one team ever at any age group to win from Manitoba before us.
Yeah, so. So for that age group, you became the first team not from Ontario or BC to win the championship, which is pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. What do you remember beating when you beat the host team, the White Rock Renegades, 5-1 in the championship game?
Oh, it was awesome. Like, I remember we didn't do so great starting off that tournament, and we were on the bottom side working our way up. Like, I think that was our fourth game of the day.
Oh, geez.
And after we had lost the game, like, our coach was super mad at us, and like, we were over in the bushes and like crying, and then all of a sudden we decided, oh, we want to do this for each other and like go out there, and we won a bunch of games and won a national championship, which was really cool.
That is awesome. Good for you guys.
Yeah, and we're going to kind of continue with this transition through your early sporting career, go back to hockey. You mentioned a few times St. Mary's Academy, and you played there during your high school years. What drew you to the program, considering that it was kind of still in its formative years in 2014 when you arrived?
Yeah, I went to St. Mary's in grade 7, so I wasn't one that just kind of came to the school just to go play on the hockey team. I was already there. I think it had been in the back of our minds when I went in grade 7 that maybe I'd end up playing on this prep hockey team. So I think that I kind of had made the decision that I wanted to attend school there, and then knowing how well the program was doing too, that's kind of what pulled me there.
I mean, we're talking a very new program as well. It was only around for a couple of years at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of players from that 2014-2015 roster, you included now, that have gone on to brighter lights, and I'll name a few. Kayla Friesen obviously played in the PHF. She won an Isabel Cup. Holly Ruther played with the Calgary Dinos. She's now playing professionally in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. Randy Marcone had a short stint with the PHF Toronto 6, and now we have you playing professionally, potentially, in Ottawa. Eventually that will happen. Hear that, Carla? Anyway, but how cool is it that four Flames from that team have played professional hockey at this point? I mean, we're talking about girls hockey in 2014, which had virtually no future in terms of professional options, let alone amateur options.
Yeah.
And now we have four that have played professional, including yourself.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. You know, when you look back to that team, like, I knew when I was coming in, like, all the girls were committed to go D1 pretty much. It was pretty cool walking into that, knowing that we were playing with these type of girls, and the fact that four of us have been able to play professionally is awesome, knowing that for a while there was nothing for professional hockey.
Just before we go on, Jay, I mean, we're talking about hockey in Winnipeg, which I mean, again, was its own bubble in some ways as well, and yet four of you have come out and done amazing things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like you said, everybody's sort of committed to going to D1 on that or whatever, but it's not like you guys have stopped there. I think that really speaks volumes as to, you know, not only the commitment you guys have, but just loving the game, like just being a hockey player. Does that sound right?
Yeah, for sure. I think like playing with St. Mary's was an awesome experience. Like, you could see the commitment from everyone. Everyone would love the sport, loved getting better every day and wanting to kind of take the next step, and you see that.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, and we can't, you know, skip past that without talking about Larry Bumstead. Can you just tell us a little bit about your experience with him and kind of the role that he played in influencing your career?
Yeah, I think that the way he runs that program is so similar kind of to a college program, and I think that was like huge in being able to get me set up and ready for college. Like, he was an awesome coach, and just the way that our team was structured, like practicing the same time every day after school, traveling for the weekends, playing tournaments on the weekends sort of thing, really set you up for college well and prepared you well. And just him as a person, like, he cares so much about each of us and wanted the best for all of us. And there were so many other staff around too that like were messaging all these colleges and everything. Like, I talk to girls now and they're like, oh yeah, I'm sending out emails to all these colleges. And like, we had staff doing that for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't the one doing that. There was people who cared about it. It was, whether it was Bummer or it was other staff around, like, they were out there trying to get the best for all of us.
There's like this amazing community around that program still to this day.
Yeah.
You know, anybody who goes in there and gets involved with it, like, it just, it's incredible just to see how everyone comes together around the Flames.
Whenever we have the Flames in here, any of the Flames in here, we always have to ask this question. Logan, you're not going to get out of it as well. Favorite Bummer memory? Favorite memory of Larry Bumstead? It can be an embarrassing one, which we always enjoy, or it can be just a one that you go, you know what, that's the Bummer I know.
Well, when I think of him and I think of our team, I think of this one time we were playing sewer, like soccer before the game, and one of the other coaches had actually just like thrown the ball back into the circle and then gave one of the players a bloody nose. Like, she, like, wasn't looking or whatever. Hit her in the face. She's got, gets a bloody nose. And Bummer comes running over. He's like, you are not allowed to play this game anymore. There will be no soccer balls. You're absolutely not allowed to touch a soccer ball before the game. And it was so disappointing. So for the last, like, I think that was, like, grade 10, maybe. So for the last 2 years, like, we were not allowed to play sewer before games or practices or anything. Yeah.
Wow. Bummer cracking the whip there.
I know.
That's harsh. One of the annual events that we're proud to cover every year here on UMFM is the Female World Sports School Challenge. Obviously, you guys are playing in that every year because you guys kind of host the tournament. But you and your teammates rose to the challenge in 2018. On March 4th, 2018, you guys battled Minnesota's Gentry Academy to a 1-1 tie through regulation before Danica Namaka scored in overtime. Huge celebration. I do remember that vividly. The Flames win 2-1 for the first ever gold medal for the school at the tournament. What do you remember about that game?
Yeah, I don't remember much about the game in specific, but I just remember, I still have the picture in my room, actually. Bummer printed them out for all of us, and it says change the color at the bottom, because I think we won bronze for the last two, maybe 3 years before that.
Correct.
So his thing was that we really wanted to change the color of that medal, and we did that year, so it was awesome.
And you guys had lost to Gentry earlier in the tournament, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, a little bit of vengeance right there, too. So
exactly.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Yeah, and we can't get past 2018 without talking about another accomplishment on your already impressive list, and already impressive resume. Every time we have somebody on here, I'm just, like, blown away by how impressive some of these people are. But you were selected to play for Team Canada at the 2018 U18 World Championship in Russia alongside future Bobcats Lexi
Agia. Okay. Everybody does. Don't worry.
I looked at it. I was like, I'm not going to get this right.
Agia.
Courtney Vorster and coached by Manitoban Delaney Collins and Nipissing University's Darren Turcotte. You brought home a bronze medal. How much fun was that tournament, and what stands out most to you about kind of the tournament and where it was held?
Well, first of all, we also had Zoe Boyd on that.
You did.
And
yes.
She, at the time, she was not supposed to come to Quinnipiac, and then she was committed to Quinnipiac after, so we had four of us there, which was awesome.
Did you talk her into that?
We definitely talked about it a little bit.
Like, she's all, I'm going here. No, you're not. You're coming
no,
with
you're
us.
Not. Yeah, no,
I was thinking, like, you tell the story, and then you talk about it, and she feels a little bit of FOMO. It's like, okay,
yeah,
fine,
no, there was the three of us were hanging out, and Zoe was always hanging out with us, and she's like, oh, man.
Oh, nice.
She was also already talking to the coach. Like, she was already talking to Cass, so it wasn't out of the blue. But yeah, when I think about playing with Team Canada there, like, being able to go to Russia was amazing. Like, it's somewhere, like, I've traveled a lot, but I would never go to Russia just by myself, probably. Certainly not anymore, I suppose. But being able to go there was so cool. It was so cool to experience that. And we played Russia in the first game there, and it was packed. Like, it was so packed. It was so cool. So that was a really cool experience.
Dimitrov is where you guys played, correct?
Yeah.
What do you remember about Dimitrov as a city? I mean, obviously you guys get a little bit of, you know, time to sort of go sightseeing a little bit. But
I've never heard of Dimitrov before.
Apparently was voted like one of the best towns in Russia at one point, and I was like, for not never hearing about it, like, that's crazy. So what do you remember about it?
I don't know how much, like, sightseeing around Dimitrov we really did. Like, we walked from the hotel to the rink and then to another hotel for all of our meals and everything. But we didn't really do too much walking around other than that. We had a day in Moscow to kind of walk around there, and that was awesome. But I do just remember that it was very snowy and cold.
Okay, that's fair. It sounds like Russia.
Yes, exactly.
We knew at the tournament, speaking of the Female World Sports Coaching, we knew at the tournament you would committed to Quinnipiac University for the 2018-2019 season. When did they approach you, though, about joining them? Because obviously you went over in January, you knew if you were over in Russia, you were playing, you already knew you were going. When did they approach you, and what sold you on the university and the Bobcats specifically about going to that school?
I think the first time I ever talked to one of the coaches might have been, it was either grade 7 or 8 in the hallways of St. Mary's. They were coming probably for Randy or Kate going to Quinnipiac already, and they were around the school, and Mr. Chell came around, and he's like, Logan, come here. Like, pulled me out of class and, like, brought me over to talk to one of the coaches in the hallway.
Wow.
Which was pretty funny. But I had contact with them probably, like, kind of largely in grade 9. I do think they came and watched me when I played boys hockey, though, as well. Like, they were looking at me for a long time, which is awesome. kind of through grade 9. I talked to them a lot, and then we kind of didn't have as much contact for a while. And then they came back and were kind of full force, and that's what made me want to go there. Like, they really wanted me there. You don't want to go somewhere that, you know, they don't want you that bad.
Well,
like,
yeah.
It seemed like me or nothing for them, you know. So that's what made me pull me there, and with the coaches too, like having Maz as a full-time assistant coach but also the goalie coach was awesome. I also didn't want to be on a huge city campus, and that's not what we had, so the campus is beautiful. So that
and
was
then
good.
You carried the torch forward and yes. did a little bit of recruiting for them.
Yes, exactly.
But you know, we asked this about a lot of our guests, but you don't have to name names,
yes.
obviously. But were there any other schools that came calling, or did kind of Quinnipiac put their flag in the ground and say, she's ours, nobody go talk to her?
No, I mean, rules have obviously changed since then, mm-hmm. but there was, like, just in recruiting and contact and all that. But yeah, we visited probably 6 or 7 different campuses through, like, grade 9, 10-ish. I think I committed to Quinnipiac going into grade 11. So there was definitely other schools that I looked at and visited as well.
Are we talking, like, big rival school? Like, again, you don't have to name names, but, like, big rivals of Quinnipiac?
I visited a few Ivy Leagues. Other than that, not really.
No?
No.
No Minnesotas, no Wisconsins, nothing like that? No?
I did visit Wisconsin, yeah.
Oh,
yes.
They didn't...
But I wouldn't say they're a big rival.
No,
ours,
but I mean, they're everybody's rival.
Yes,
they're number one, like,
that
every year,
fair.
Right?
Yeah, so. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of cool, though, that you went with Quinnipiac. I'm glad mm-hmm. that, obviously, you landed there, because, I mean, you did well there as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into that in a couple of seconds here, because, as you said, there were a couple people there that you kind of knew. So, I'm sure, you know, moving far away from home and to this brand new place in this country that you've never seen before, although you visited a couple
yep.
times, in Hamden, Connecticut,
yep.
of all places. It might have felt a little bit like home, because former Flames Kate McKenzie and Randy Marcone played there as well, in terms of playing with the Quinnipiac Bobcats. How easy is it to settle into university life, knowing that there's a couple familiar faces, a couple people you know really well there?
Yeah, I think having people I knew with Kate and Randy, and then also with knowing Courtney, Lexi, and Zoe from Team Canada,
right,
made it awesome. Like, we all arrived on campus on the same day, because as freshmen from Canada, you can't go at the beginning of summer school. Everyone normally goes in summer school, but we could only go for the last, like, 2-3 weeks just
yeah.
because of when your visa starts. So we all were arriving the same day, and just having those familiar faces was awesome.
I mean... We joke about this, obviously, with some of the players that we see, and, you know, and players that have come here, you know, gone down south and played there. Is there a Canada versus U.S. kind of mentality yeah. in the dressing room, where it's like, we rule and you guys don't?
I feel like for the first few years there might have been a little bit, but
okay.
like we had
like, who are these Canadians?
Yeah, but we
up?
Had so many Canadians.
Right,
like
yeah.
my first and second year, we had one international from Finland as well. But I think we had more that weren't from the States than were from the States,
so
which
was
awesome.
You guys kind of ruled the room
yeah,
then. Nice,
yeah.
I like it. That's awesome.
Were there any U Sports teams that came knocking? Anyone north of the border?
The U of M emailed me. He emailed me and kind of said it was funny. He's like, I know that you probably don't want to come here, but I'm here. Let me know if you want to come.
Yeah. So we know, I mean, we talked a little about this before the show, but you redshirted in 2018-19, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's obviously it's a different experience, but do you think that it kind of helped you, it gave you a chance to make that transition to university a little bit, obviously being in a different country mm-hmm. and being away from home, and it made it a little bit easier to make that transition without having to worry about hockey and classes at the same time?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was an awesome experience for me. I was pretty lucky, because for every game, I was still doing the warm-up with everyone, getting dressed, and I was on the bench every game. Like, I wasn't just sitting in the stands every game, which I think was huge for me. It kind of got me used to that game day feeling without actually the stress and pressure of the mm-hmm. game day itself. So I think that was awesome for me.
I mean, I'll ask only because I think it's kind of cool that you're down there and you're sort of soaking it all up. Is there anything from the U.S. that you couldn't get in Canada that you were like, oh man, I got to get back to school, I miss this? Like food or like anything like that?
I feel like then, no. Now I'm more like into like Trader Joe's and stuff. I love that. But like, I wasn't cooking for myself then. But I feel like I was more bringing stuff back from Canada, like my freshman sophomore year, to bring it to the States. Now, for sure, I'm bringing back like flavored bubblies that we don't have here,
right, yeah.
and, like stuff from Trader Joe's and stuff like that. But back then, I don't feel like there was much I was bringing back from the States
okay.
or like really wanted to
all
get back to.
All the weird flavors of Oreos.
Yeah.
yeah, and things that they have.
Exactly.
Oreos, the gum, the candy, like just crazy things.
Now, again, we ask because we've had a couple of Americans that we've talked to. Is it weird, sort of being up here and seeing how different, Canadian, say for example, Canadian chocolate bars, are nowhere close to being what American ones are.
Yeah, it is a little bit weird, like how we're so close, but things can be different. Yeah.
Like, do any of the American girls, are they always like, can you bring me one back?
We had one girl on the team, Lexa Hoskin. Her grandma, her grandma would send her a huge box of Canadian snacks, probably once a month, so that would get spread out between everyone. So she had enough for everyone to share.
That's awesome. Yeah. So great.
One of my best friends, she's from Missouri, and every time she comes to Canada to visit, she has to have all dressed chips.
Yeah,
she's just like, I don't get to have these at home, so I need to. And whenever her boyfriend goes down there, he has to bring a bag for her. So
That's fantastic. If you're just tuning into the hockey show, we do have Logan Angers with us. She is going to be playing for PWHL Ottawa this year, no matter what Carla says, as per us. So we'll get into overall stats here because there's 6 years of work that we need to go over. Mm-hmm. 98 games played for the Bobcats, a 65-28-3 record. Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A 180 goals against average, a 926 save percentage, and of those 98 games, 19 were shutouts.
Sounds pretty good when you say it like that.
What do you think of those stats?
Yeah, I mean, you don't really realize, obviously you pay attention to your stats a little bit as you're going through, but you don't realize kind of how it all accumulates in the end.
I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little disappointed in Quinnipiac because I went to actually look up where she ranked on every one of their sort of goaltending records. Oh. They haven't updated it since 2021.
Yeah.
Really?
I was shocked.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm like, Logan just got completely like cut off by the school. What's going on here?
You got to put in some calls, get some people, some changing some things.
I mean, the numbers don't lie. You're obviously one of the best goaltenders on the other side of the border based on those numbers alone. Let's be honest. I mean, there's a lot of good things, a lot of hard work that went into those numbers as well. But what stands out at Quinnipiac when you sort of look back on those stats in your time in Hamden?
As cliche as it is to say, we're a very defensive team. We pride ourselves on our defense, and I think that has a huge point to my success there in the stats that I get. We do limit stuff. We limit a lot of opportunities, and they do, as cliche as it is, make it a lot easier on me than it could be.
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Let you give your team credit.
Yes.
I'll give you that. That's fine. Do you want to do some career highlights?
Sure.
How much do you remember about your own career? These are some big moments at Quinnipiac. They may not always involve you, but they were certainly when you were dressed for a game, at least. Mm-hmm. October 25th, 2019 versus Sacred Heart. What happened that night?
First game and shutout and win.
There you go. You got all of them. Do you remember much about that game? It was 16 save night.
Yeah.
In a 6-0 win for your first win, first shutout, first game.
Yep.
What do you remember about
to start a career? Jeez.
What do you remember about that? Well, about that game?
I don't know if it was that game or the night after, but I got absolutely blown up in the crease. I almost thought I was gonna get a penalty because the girl kind of went flying into the corner too, but she just skated right through my head and I just completely got blown up in the crease. But other than that, not a whole lot. I know my mom came out because she knew I was going to be playing my first game, so she was there, but that's about it.
did you keep the puck? Do you have the puck still?
Oh yeah, it looks bad though.
When they
put the tape on the outside, that tape gets so gross. It just sits on my shelf, but that tape is not white anymore because they put the white tape on it and they write the game. But yeah, it does not look very good anymore.
next one isn't really a highlight, more of maybe a low light, we'll call it. But November 16th, 2019 at Union. Do you know what happened that night?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay.
Yep. I lost to Union. First time Union's ever beaten Quinnipiac.
That was the side note, but yes, you're correct. It was your first loss, 4-2 final. It was also your first goal against. Do you remember who scored against you?
No, I remember it was a 5-on-3 power play.
Katie Sontag scored at 18:27 of the first period.
Yep.
Any thoughts on that game? Just didn't go right or what?
To be fair, the fourth goal, empty net goal.
Yeah.
Our own team actually shot it into the net.
That doesn't help. You said they limit chances.
Yeah, that's being a little too defensive.
I was on the bench. It wasn't my fault.
That's okay. You're all right. January 5th, 2020 versus Merrimack.
Oh, Ireland.
That is correct. Yeah. You backstopped Quinnipiac to a 3-1 win at SSE Arena in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Is it cool that you were that you got a chance to play hockey in Ireland?
Yeah, that was awesome. I remember when we found out that we were going to Ireland, I was just so happy to be going to Ireland. And then when I found out that I was going to get to play too, it was awesome. It was really cool.
How did you guys land in Ireland? Like, how did you guys get that opportunity?
I don't know. I don't think they had ever done it before. Right. Every year they'd send four teams out to Ireland and play in this friendship series. The boys do it too at Thanksgiving. But yeah, I don't know how we ended up there.
Well, you did and you won, and that's all that matters. That's a good thing. September 25th, 2021. It was against Maine.
Ooh.
You did not play, but you were on the bench. You had played the night before.
I have no idea.
It was a big moment in NCAA history and in women's hockey history.
Oh, goalie goal.
There you go. Your goaltending partner, Corinne Schroeder, was credited with the 5-1 goal against Maine on a delayed penalty to none other than Courtney Vorster. What's the, like, again, we have the highlight and we can certainly play it if you want, but I mean, the guys from Maine, the guy, two guys that were doing the commentating had like no clue what went on. Like they were like, we don't know who touched the puck last. We have no idea what went on. Like, all we know is the puck's in Maine's net, basically.
I know. Honestly, I wish it was one that like she like shot down the ice and scored, because those are awesome. But it kind of just was like, well, we can't give it to anyone on Quinnipiac because then we should have blown the whistle for a penalty. So I guess it'll be the goalie.
I mean, again, I don't, there wasn't a lot of highlight before that. Like, whoever made the clip didn't have, like, was there even a shot on net before
I have no idea. Like, I actually, I don't know if I ever watched it back to, like, kind of check that out, but I think there had to have been.
I mean, she would have, technically, if they stopped the, I mean, I guess they didn't have to, penalty would have been down in your end anyway. Yeah. So, didn't have to be Corinne that stopped it. But, I mean, what's it like going back to the room, though, and celebrating with your tendy partner?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
She's a goal scorer now.
I think, again, it was kind of ironic, because it was like, not a, oh, I shot it down the ice and scored an awesome goal. It was like, well, cool, I get to say I got a goalie goal. I think we were all just kind of confused at first. Like, I don't know if they officially, who they officially gave it to, like, right to begin with, because I think it took them a while to decide, oh, we're gonna give it to Schroeder.
The guys from Maine apparently were trying to figure out who was in the face-off circle. That's who they were trying to figure out who it was. Again, not that we're trying to, you know, build up Corinne, obviously. She'll play against her possibly in when she's with New York now, but I mean, is it cool to be the first school to have not only a female goalie score, but to have both goalies score? Because you're the first school to have both a men's goalie and a women's goalie score goals.
I kind of forgot about that. That is pretty awesome. Like, it's not something you hear of, obviously.
No. Quinnipiac. That'll lead me to another question then, because you ended up finishing your six-year career with absolutely 0 points.
I did. I know. There was a few times I remember watching video with Maz afterwards. I'm like, Maz, I should get an assist on that. Again, it wasn't me passing it up the ice and we went and scored, but it was right off the rebound and we skated up and scored. So I'm like, I should get an assist.
I touched the puck.
Yeah, never got it, though.
I mean, does it bother you that Corinne, in her 1 year there, has outscored you?
No.
Are you trying to build a rivalry?
It's so unique.
Again, she plays for New York, I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, that's super cool, though. I mean, congratulations to you guys on that. That's fantastic. So February 6th, 2022, at St. Lawrence. Do you remember what happened that night? Again, not really a highlight, more of a low light.
I was going to say, I feel like this is really not a highlight.
But it is, though, when you consider what the accomplishment was.
There's an accomplishment?
Yeah, February 6th, 2022, at St. Lawrence.
Did we play two games back-to-back
at
St. Lawrence?
No.
Oh, I have no idea, then.
You did lose 5-1 that night.
Okay.
But you were the last goalie in the NCAA without a loss entering that game.
Oh, yep.
Like, that's a long time to play a season and not record a loss.
Yeah. I think I got pulled that game as well, though.
You did. We weren't going to talk about that, but that's...
I'm pretty sure we played St. Lawrence again the next day.
You did. Yeah. No, the night before. It was the night before.
Oh, okay.
It was the second,
Oh,
second
yes, that's right.
Yeah. So, but I mean, at that point, you, again, last goalie without an NCAA loss entering that game.
Yeah.
You finished 11-2-1 that season. Like, obviously, 21-22 went really well for you guys.
Yeah, it was an awesome season. I think we just had such a good group of everything. Like, everything. We were scoring goals. We were stopping goals. It was awesome.
That's fantastic. Congratulations on that fantastic season, because that was certainly helpful. January 6th, 2023, against Harvard.
At Fenway.
That was at Fenway.
Yep.
3-1 win against Harvard in Fenway Park. What do you recall from that game? I'll talk a little bit about Patrick Donnelly after that. Cause
is that the announcer from that game?
No, that's the NCAA guy that talked to you after the game.
Oh, okay.
And I have a lot of questions about what he was asking. But
because I heard that the announcer during the game made a comment about me getting a shutout, and then a couple minutes later they scored.
Oh, no.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can, because you in every interview have said you're not superstitious. So why is that a superstition for you?
I'm not. I'm just saying that someone told me that.
Okay.
I didn't know that, but I'm just saying when I got the post-game interview, someone had said, or maybe it was just they like said it to them, oh, we want Logan, like she's getting a shutout.
Oh, okay.
And then a couple of minutes later, I got scored on.
Was the ice okay for that?
It was terrible.
Okay.
It was terrible.
Everyone.
If you watch that video, like there's girls just that are rolling around. Like people.
Right. But the question is always, because we always hear about the NHL guys complaining about the ice, like months after the game, they're like, oh, it's crap ice. Like it's just garbage.
It was so bad.
And like is it soft or is it
so
just.
So soft.
Really?
And it was also snowing, which, I mean, made it awesome. Like,
yeah.
How cool was it that it was snowing? Like,
right.
That was so cool. But it was so bad. Like, I remember watching the guys go out to shovel it in between, at the commercial breaks, especially in the third period. It really started snowing, and, like, they're just dying because the ice is so soft. They can hardly skate. They're pushing shovels full of snow. Like, they were really struggling.
It's like that, probably that really wet, sticky snow.
Yeah, like, I couldn't move at all. Like, really. Like, I was like, oh, I think I stepped on some cement on the way out. I don't really have an edge, but I was like, doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter.
Playing in boots today. We're good. Is it cool to sit there and see, like, to look around and go, this is a baseball diamond, not a hockey rink?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I guess kind of luckily for me, because the ice was so bad, that there wasn't too much action. It was kind of a slower game and in general, so I definitely had a lot of moments where I could, like, kind of stand there and look at, like, oh, man, like, we're playing at Fenway. Like, not even just a baseball stadium, like, Fenway.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Like, were you, like, Monster, like, Green Monster?
Yeah.
You know, in terms of where you were? Like, I know they played across, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was closer to home plate for two periods, and then looking at it for the other period.
Okay, that's fair. That's at least got a full view of it. When
It's
like you're at the bat then. That's
cool.
Awesome.
Pictures.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so Patrick Donnelly of NCAA Digital, he started off the interview by calling you Logan Angers.
That's how you say it.
Is it? Because again, everybody has called you for the longest time.
Logan Angers.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, because that's okay. So that I'm going to take that back.
I thought you said that actually earlier, but I guess not.
I mean, maybe. Right. I mean, maybe it sounds like that. But again, everybody legitimately in like every other like highlight package calls you like Angers.
Yeah, I think that people just look at it and they're like, "Oh, I know
like
how to
word.
Say this.
Yeah.
It's easy."
Okay, so that's good then. But he legitimately like asked you like about the sight lines out there.
Yeah.
Did you have any problems seeing out there?
It was a little bit weird, but like
I'm like, you're a softball player.
Yeah,
you pretty much know what to expect.
I think largely
right?
like the snow was the biggest issue.
Okay,
you know, obviously I've never played hockey or softball in snow.
Right, yeah.
But as for like depth kind of perception for the ice, like it wasn't too bad.
Okay, good. I've just been making sure because I was like, that's kind of a weird question to ask when you're a ball player, but whatever. February 24th, 2024 against Harvard. What was special about that game? February 24th, 2024.
Oh, I don't know.
It was the, I'll give you a hint, it was the ECAC playoffs.
Oh, we won like 9-0.
Correct. It was your actual last NCAA win.
Yep.
So that's an awesome setup there. 19 save, 9-0 shutout of Harvard. Unfortunately, you guys went on to drop 2 straight to Cornell the next weekend. But obviously some fantastic highlights and there's some fantastic stuff to go over. I mean, obviously all those moments stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that we missed that legitimately you go, like, oh, that was a big game, and here's what happened. Or that was a big game, and this is the reason why.
Well, probably like the NCAA tournament,
well, of
both
course.
Years.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing in the 3 overtime game against Penn State was wild.
Oh, that, yeah. That good one on that.
Yeah. So that's something I always kind of look back at, and I'll always remember that, too. But Yeah, I think that's really it.
Okay, well, that's all right then. Well, we've pretty much gone over the career highlights, so we can get back to the regular interviewing stuff. Jay, you want to keep going there?
Yeah, sure. So we're not done with Quinnipiac just yet, because that two sport thing comes back as a part of your life at this point. In 2023, you joined the Quinnipiac softball team. Could you just take us through like how that happened?
Well, my freshman year, actually, we had talked about softball. I had never necessarily talked to the coach, but I knew I was redshirting. And obviously with it being a spring sport, it was like, oh, should I play softball in the spring? Like, I had talked to Cass about it, and it just kind of never pulled through. But come 2023, I think it was, how it all happened was because of Frozen Fenway, actually.
Really?
It was the tennis coach, I think, was watching it. And obviously, they talked a lot about me playing softball during that game and just with everything surrounding that game. So I believe what happened is the tennis coach reached out to the softball coach and said, hey, there's this girl on the hockey team that might want to play softball, or we think she could probably come play softball. And I remember getting a call from Cass one day, like our hockey coach, and she's like, I was a little bit concerned. I was getting a call from her. It was kind of just super random. She gives me a call, and then she's like, so I got a message from the softball coach. Do you want to play softball? And I think I laughed. Like, I actually laughed when she said it, because it was just so surprising. It was out of literally nowhere. And I was like, well, like, how the heck is this going to work?
Yeah,
like, how exactly is this going to work? So we kind of took some time, talked to the coaches for softball, talked to Cass, kind of how it would work with, like, spring training and everything. And we kind of figured it all out, and I decided that I couldn't turn down this opportunity to play softball at Quinnipiac. Like, that's so awesome.
I mean, and again, I'm not trying to bring any sort of, you know, negativity on this parade, but six softball games with the Bobcats.
Yes.
That you appeared in. I won't give you the stats.
They were pretty good from the first year.
First year was really good. You were 2-for-6.
Yeah.
You had a double. You had like 3 walks.
Yep.
Yeah, you were doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Second year, and things changed a little bit, but that's okay. But again, is playing with that team just as fun as playing with the hockey team was? Like, obviously different kid, you know, different teammates, different people, different, you know, different environment, obviously, entirely. But is it like, you're like, oh man, this is like, I wish I would have done this earlier.
I don't know if I could have done it for 6 years.
No, but I mean, just hanging out, like just being part of the softball.
I think it was really awesome. Like, it's a totally different dynamic with softball, just how the games work, how practice works and everything. But I absolutely love my time there. Like, it was kind of always a debate whether or not I was going to go back this year and play. Like, the coach didn't think I was going to. Like, she like never thought that. And the girls are always asking me, like, are you going to come back? Are you going to come back? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, the coach never actually asked me if I wanted to come back yet. I came back in September last year. Like, I had nothing to do with the softball team through the whole winter.
Right,
I was, like, she knew that. Like, she knew my thing was always hockey, and she was very respectful of that, the coach. So I was all hockey all the way through until, like, March, maybe. She texted me. She's like, so do you want to – I hear you might want to play again. And I think what pulled me back to playing is really getting to play with the girls again. Like, I was able to get a whole other family out of that, and they were awesome, and it was just – it was really good.
I'm not gonna rein in on any parades with stats or anything like that, but I got to ask you, only because – it's only 6 games, though.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even give you a position on the roster online.
No.
What did you play? Like, what position? Did you play catcher in first again, or
no,
was it –
No, I was not catching.
Okay.
That was the conversation I had the very first time they reached out. I was like, do you need a catcher? Is that why you're asking? Because I won't be catching. It just was too much for me. And I wasn't – that's a position you got to practice that.
Right,
like, you need to be full time doing that. So the first year I played first base in the games.
Okay.
And that's what I practiced almost all the time. And then this year I only hit in the games.
Okay. So that's not too bad then.
Yeah.
I was kind of, like I said, just kind of weird that they have you on the roster and there's no position listed.
I don't remember what they did this year, but last year, the director of ops was the same for our team and the softball team.
Okay.
And she took my hockey bio and copy-pasted it into the softball one.
Okay.
So it says I played Team Canada.
Nice. That's awesome.
Hey, you could put that on your CV.
Yeah,
it's on
exactly.
there. It's official,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so she... I don't really know what she did. There's also a part of my hockey one that actually talks about softball, and that wasn't on my softball bio.
Oh.
That didn't make it there.
Oh.
So I'm not sure what happened there, but there's a clip from my first game, I think it was, against LIU in softball,
yeah.
And it was away, and the announcers are like, there's this mystery player up to bat. It's really funny.
That's fantastic.
They're like, just, from Winnipeg.
You're not going to throw her name in the old Google machine, right? And see what comes up?
No.
Like, I'm pretty sure a few things would come up.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. But we're going to take a quick pivot to your kind of non-sports accomplishments at Quinnipiac, because this is something else. So you graduated with a master's degree in business administration, so an MBA, mm-hmm. A Bachelor of Arts in Mathematics, and a Master of Science in Business Analytics.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who works in, you know, insights and analytics and business strategy, that speaks to my heart. So obviously there's a million things you could do with those degrees. Is there kind of a dream job that you would have if you're not playing professional hockey, or if you know, at the time your career ends, what you've kind of got envisioned?
Yeah, I think I don't necessarily have like one thing that I'm like, oh man, I really want to do this. I always loved math, so that's what put me into the math degree. And then we studied a whole semester. We did a like independent study with a professor to study for the actuary exams. So we started kind of doing that, and then I found that they had the Master's of Science in Business Analytics, so I was like, oh, this is basically the same thing, and I can get a master's degree for it. So I like working with numbers, so something there, but nothing in specific that I'm like, I really want to do this.
I can tell you from personal experience working in business, when you can do math, you are a wizard.
Yeah.
People think you're doing legit magic.
Yeah, well, that was what I was going to change my undergrad to, something in business, because I wanted to do like math, but in business, and my professors were all like, learn the math, you can learn the business later.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I did. I have a master's in sociology. I don't have a business background, but I have a stats background.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kind of learned the business stuff as I
exactly.
went.
Exactly.
So if any businesses are out there listening, you need a new CEO.
Yeah.
We know somebody.
Yep.
We can put a good word in for our guest.
Perfect.
The summer you got your foot in the door. You signed a free agent deal with PWHL Ottawa. Why Ottawa?
I think it was kind of the same thing I said with Quinnipiac. Like, they reached out as soon as free agency opened up, like the minute it opened up, sent me an email, wanted to get a interview kind of thing in right away, and wanted to offer me something right away. Like, they wanted me there. They wanted me as a goalie, me as a person.
Was that
there.
Mike? Mike sent you the email?
Yeah.
Mike Hirschfeld, everybody?
Yep.
I mean, not that I'm... You don't have to ask this, but I mean... did you? I would have been like, hey, why didn't you draft me?
I know. Well, they already drafted a goalie, so
no,
I get
but,
it.
Hey, listen, that competition is good.
I would have loved
good,
to be drafted somewhere, but I think that in the end, even if I would have got drafted somewhere else, like, I think Ottawa's probably the best place for me to try and compete for a spot next year. Like, having Mash and then two new goalies, and they're very different goalies for me. So I think that was kind of what I looked at too when I looked at Ottawa. That it's kind of a good fit for me to compete.
We've had head coach Carla McLeod on the show. We've had defender Savannah Harmon on the show.
Okay.
So we've talked to a couple of people that have had some you know, pretty solid Ottawa connections there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know Lexi Agia, who played there and before she was traded, and Zoe Boyd is still there in terms of playing there. Are you excited to get to Ottawa, get to work? Like, it sounds like, and again, from what Savannah said, and I mean, obviously, we're not going to let Carla boost, you know, talk about herself and how much fun she has, but she looks like she's like one of the fun coaches to play for. Are you excited to get to go to work for a person that's like that?
Yeah.
Like, where she's so positive and so, like, let's just have a good time with this.
For sure. Yeah, I'm so excited. I think everything about the program seems awesome. Like, the rink, the fans, the staff, everything. Like, all the staff have been reaching out the past couple of weeks. Like, I had a phone call with Carla yesterday, and it wasn't like, how's your training going? What are you doing on the ice? What are you like? Just hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Like, how are you doing?
How
you got any
Carla?
Questions?
She's very people oriented. Like, she wants to know about you before any hockey
for
stuff.
For sure. 100%. Like, I hadn't had a one-on-one conversation with her at all recently. And like, I thought she was going to come on and like ask me about all this stuff. And she was just wanted to know how you're doing.
I'll give you the heads up. From what Savannah told us, the pizza thing that she does on the bench is a real thing. So be prepared if you're sitting on.
I've never heard of the pizza thing.
Oh, well, she. So every time there's a puck given away, it's free it's free pizza. And there was a game at the World Championship where she said it probably about a dozen times in about 5 minutes. So, and we asked Savannah if that happens. And she's like, oh my God, it happens like every game,
that's
every
funny.
Practice. So be prepared to hear a lot about pizza when you're down there. That's awesome.
That's right.
And you mentioned them, but Amarant's Mashmeyer obviously is there with Ottawa. And they've drafted Northeastern's Gwyneth Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
So... Ottawa clearly has three exceptional goalies. Mm-hmm. Are you excited to compete with those two for time in the crease?
Yeah, I think, like I said before, like it's an awesome fit for me. I think that they can learn from me, I can learn from them, sort of thing. Like we all, I think, play fairly differently, and I think it's exciting to be able to kind of go in, look up to these people, and kind of incorporate whatever I can from their game, and hopefully they can do the same as well to kind of all make us better.
Okay, so I gotta ask, because we, again, this is, I was baffled by this, to be honest.
Yeah.
The last time Quinnipiac played Northeastern was 2011.
Yeah.
You guys never cross paths. Nope. In your you and Gwyneth have never played against
They're
each other.
This
never.
Year, though.
Right. They schedule the year that
yeah.
you leave.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know anything about Gwyneth? Do you know anything about, I mean, obviously,
no.
you know a little bit about Amherst because
yeah.
she's been on Team Canada's radar
yeah.
for a while, but do you, like, going into it, you have no idea
no,
who you're.
No, nothing.
Is that harder to sort of get an idea as to what you need to be good at, what you need to be, you know, what you sort of need to improve on, or are you just looking at it as it's me and only me that I need to worry about?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I don't know if I'd rather, like, know a lot about the other goalies or not. Like, I think it's kind of exciting to go in and just focus on me, like you said,
yeah.
Have them around me as well.
All right. Okay, well, that's good then. We got some softball questions for you. Not softball. It's not about softball, but,
yeah.
like, some
yeah.
easy-to-answer, goofy questions
okay.
that you can certainly
yeah.
you can hit out of the park and laugh at and do whatever you want with. So, you wore number 1. You wore number 30 at
mm-hmm.
St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
You wore number 37 at Quinnipiac. You wore number 21 for softball at Quinnipiac.
And 14.
And 14,
yep.
correct. I wasn't sure if you were going to count that as being a real number.
Yeah.
But again, it was a real number.
Yeah.
Is there a favorite of those? Do you have a preference of any of those?
Well, for softball, I did not pick them at all. They were
okay.
just whatever jerseys there was.
All right, that's fair.
But 37 for sure. Like, growing up, I was always number 7 when I was a player. I was 7, my little brother was 8, and it was just kind of always what we were. And then when I started to be a goalie, I was never able to actually pick my number. It was, okay, we have a 1, we have a 30, or we have a 1
right.
or 35, or whatever it is. So I was never able to pick it. So then when I got to pick my number at Quinnipiac, I was like, I want to be 37. And it was kind of when Hellebuyck was like kind of just getting big here,
right,
too.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because it wasn't a super popular number for goalies for a while. It is now, but... so I think I saw that and I was like, I should be 37. Like, this seems so fitting.
So not to make this any
yeah.
tougher on you, but Gwyneth Phillips also
know,
wears 37. Are we going
There's
to
have to be a duel at training camp?
Are we, see, you're going to have to beat her now at training camp.
Yeah. I wish it was that easy. I have been told I do need to pick a new number and I have no idea what I'm going
to
do.
Like, you guys
do.
Have
they
to share one
you
if
that?
You get 3, one
well,
if you get 7.
Well, I asked about it.
No, hold on.
I did
hold
ask.
Hold on. You tell
they
me.
Said
no
37.
Way.
Been taken.
No, you tell Carla that's garbage. If you know, I will. That's ridiculous. That's...
You know what I said? I officially had a contract first, so...
That is correct.
But
see,
I don't think it works that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Seniority by a few weeks,
yeah.
you know.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm not certain you should be going in guns a-blazing as a rookie, but
yeah.
we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Jake?
Yeah, so you wore True equipment in
yes.
that at Quinnipiac. What makes True your choice for gear?
I always had CCM, and then I know, like, Lefebvre is what always made them, and that actually flipped into True at one point, and then I had kind of just thought, let's try True. I wanted the retro look, and CCM actually doesn't make them anymore, so I think that was kind of a big piece into why I flipped into my Trues, but I will stay with them, and I did really like them. They were so much lighter than my old ones, whether that's just, like, evolution of pads or what kind of what True did. I really enjoyed them, so I'm gonna stick with those.
Are you like a real gearhead? Like, do
no.
you have like opinions, or it's just like
mm-hmm.
what you've worn?
Yeah, no, well, I never had a choice in much of what I wore. That's like when I got to Quinnipiac, what do you want for this and this? I'm like, I have no idea.
Dear True spokesperson sitting here.
Yeah,
dear True. What's the normal game day meal for you?
We always had, it was kind of like a blackened chicken, rice pilaf, and salad with balsamic, like, over everything. Like, that's what we had every day.
Drowned in balsamic?
Yes, everything. I was never a balsamic fan either. But the one that they give us, it was the restaurant called Eli's, just down the street from Quinnipiac.
Okay.
They have the best balsamic ever, and everyone puts it on everything on their plate.
Okay, that's fair.
So the best women in the world will be shooting on you this season. Out of all of them, who's the one player you know you have to stop every time, and why is it Lexi?
Yes, it probably is Lexi. I mean, when I look at it all, it's awesome to see everyone that's going to be shooting on you. Like, it's kind of crazy. Lexi's probably a big one because, you know, she'd probably, it'd probably be on her highlight reels all over Instagram if she scored on
me.
Oh,
for sure.
Whether it was because it was me or not, it's just going to be everywhere. So,
are you prepared for the puck battles that happen though? Because she goes to the front of the net, and I mean, you've had obviously experience and practice with this, but like, are you going to be like, okay, I remember all the dirty tricks from Quinnipiac. Like, I'm gonna
for sure. Yeah. I like am thinking about it, and I'm like, I know she's just taking it to the next level too. Like, it was always there at Quinnipiac, but it's at the next level now. 100%.
That's fantastic. I love it. You were featured in an interview at Quinnipiac during their basketball game last season. Mm-hmm. Would you like to be a play-by-play or a color person once you stop playing?
Ooh, I don't think I could do it.
What are you talking about? You did this fine.
I don't think I could do it. I think there'd be too much going on. I think that I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't think I could do it.
Oh, you'd be fine. I'm just saying, you'd be good. But
you could track pucks. You can do this.
I can tell you what's happening on the ice, but who it is or anything about them, that I might struggle with.
Okay, well, I mean, that just takes practice. You'll be all right.
Yeah. So what's the cheat day food you go for?
Ooh. I always love sushi, like an all-you-can-eat sushi with, like, the sushi pizza is my favorite. And I know that's just never something I want to eat during the week because it's not the best thing to eat, you know, before hockey, and it's not always what I want after practice at night. So I feel like, obviously, Sundays was always our kind of day off, but that's kind of what I would go for.
You've claimed to be a Jets and a Penguins fan. Obviously, Penguins when Jets left, but Marc-Andre Fleury being one of your favorite players.
Yep.
Where does Connor Hellebuck rank now?
Oh, I do love him. I mean, obviously, like, people look at me being 37 too, and they're like, "Oh, are you a huge Hellebuck fan?" And I am. I do really like him. I think I always kind of go with Fleury just because he was the one I was looking at when I was wanting to be a goalie. My brother had yellow pads, and I was so excited to wear them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty cool that he had yellow pads.
Little wee yellow Reebok pads. I honestly bet we still have them in our garage just because they're kind of iconic.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was going to say, Fleury's the only person I've ever seen wear those, so that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely iconic.
We got about 2 minutes remaining here, so we're going to ask this final question for you. It's one of the questions we always ask everybody that comes on here, so you're not going to get away from this one. Uh-oh. But if you could go back in time to 2018, as Logan Andrews was coming up to Hamden for the very first time as a student, you know, come to check everything out, come to figure everything out, what advice would you give yourself knowing everything you've done and accomplished?
Yeah, I think kind of a big motto we have at Quinnipiac is trust the process. And I think that that's something that I definitely didn't do enough of the first few years.
Okay.
And I say that, like, it again, another kind of cliche sort of thing, but like being where your feet are there, and kind of knowing that everything that you do is gonna help you, and it's gonna put you in the best place to succeed in the future, even though it might not seem like it right now. I think that it is all building you to be a better person, player, and everything.
Logan Andrews, we're excited to see you play in Ottawa next year. We're looking forward to many, many moments between you and Lexi in front of the nets when it comes to whatever battles you guys get into, whatever smiles result from it. But at the end of the day, though, I get soapbox yours. You got about 30 seconds. Anything you want to say? Anything you want to say? Anybody you want to say hi to?
I'm sure my mom and dad will love to listen to this. So hi to them. They're on the way to Verdun right now to see some family.
Oh, right.
We
want to thank you for doing this. Can't say thanks enough. Door will always be open if you want to come back. Awesome. If you're sitting around the Ottawa locker room next year, you're like, you know, I got some stuff I want to say. Yeah. We'll gladly have you back on anytime you want. All the best in Ottawa. Obviously, go kick some butt out there and steal Gwyneth's number, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, but at that's the my goal.
End of the day, we want to say thanks for doing this, and all the best out in Ottawa. Make sure you you keep up the great work out there.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
With that, folks, we're going to get out of here. We got another show coming up right away as Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on the program, or on the station, excuse me. Jason, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Just have a good weekend, everybody.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend. It's supposed to be warm. Enjoy the warm weather yet again. I want to thank Logan Andrews again for Logan Andrews for giving us a little bit of time tonight. Always appreciative of that. And again, we are hopeful that she makes the team next year and is one of the regulars on that Ottawa team. Yeah. Thanks again for doing this, Logan, and we'll keep our eye on you for sure.
Awesome, thank you.
With that, folks, we're out of here for another week. It's been the Hockey Show here on UMFM. Tune in next week. Lots more to go over, lots more to talk about here on the program on 101.5 UMFM.
You're still here? It's over. Go home.
Actually, don't go anywhere. You're listening to 101.5 CJUM FM in Winnipeg.